to Ephesians chapter 2. All right. In a moment, we'll get to it, that particular verse. But I just wanted to say that I can recall a time when a brother in Christ who was being deeply influenced by what is called Reformed theology, and particularly the Calvinist position of salvation. You don't have to know what that is. But anyway, this brother asked me if I believed that faith was a gift. He meant the faith that saves. Was the faith that saves a gift? And I knew why he was asking that. I knew that he was asking that because he had been convinced that if faith wasn't a gift from God, then it would be a human work. And the answer that I gave him was this. I said, I do not believe that saving faith is a gift of God, but rather I believe that it is a human response to the gospel. Now, let's clarify our understanding of saving faith. And you know, I think this could even help some that at times struggle perhaps with assurance of salvation, if they understand these things. So I'm going to tonight begin by declaring what saving faith is not, and then ending with what saving faith is, okay? Before we go any further, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you make it so clear in the Scripture. And we do pray that we would simply come each time we open the Bible, we would come without preconceived ideas, and that we would just let the Bible speak and say what you intended to say. And I pray tonight that you would once again just simply write your word upon our heart, inscribe it with the ink of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that as a result, it would be life-giving, that you would really strengthen our heart and thus strengthen our trust, our faith in you, even those who are believers. But Lord, speak to all hearts tonight. And if there be any that don't know you as their Savior, may they understand clearly, and may this be the opportunity that they take to trust you as their personal Savior. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. So let's answer that question. Saving faith is not, and as I already said in my introduction, I don't believe it's a gift. Now, don't get confused, because in 1 Corinthians 12, there is a list of the gifts that the Holy Spirit, in his sovereign will, gives to believers. And one of those gifts listed is called the gift of faith. There is a gift of faith that the Holy Spirit gives to believers at times that enables that Christian to believe God on a given matter, manifesting great faith about that particular thing, but it has nothing to do with salvation. The gift of faith is given to people that are already saved, okay? So it has nothing to do with salvation. It is a moment in which the manifest supernatural power of the Holy Spirit enables a believer to believe God about something, and God does just what they believed him for. But saving faith is not a gift. That's why I've had you turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, some of the most familiar verses are verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's, I think, very crucial that we understand the construction of that eighth verse. We got to ask ourselves this question. In that verse number 8, what is the gift of God? It sounds like it could be faith. But actually, that's not what the gift of God is in Ephesians 2:8. That would be to misinterpret that verse. Because the word faith in that verse is in a feminine. What's the word I'm looking for? Gender. A feminine gender. And the word that is in a neuter gender, which is neither male nor female. So what that tells us, what that suggests is that the word T-H-A-T, that, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, that the word that suggests that it can't refer to faith as being the gift, but it refers to being saved. Being saved is the gift. And it means that grace makes salvation dependent not on your works, but on your faith that is placed in Christ. Is that clearer than mud? Do you understand this? The gift of God is saved. It's not faith. Okay? There's a second thing I believe that saving faith is not. Not only do I not believe that saving faith is a gift, I also do not believe, and I think you would agree with me on this as well, it's not a work. Saving faith is not a work. It's not something that you contribute to your salvation. Salvation is totally a work of God on your behalf. And faith is your dependence upon the worker, which is, of course, Jesus, who is the object of your faith. And for that, if you would turn back with me just a moment to Romans chapter 4 and look at verses 4 and 5 as I read them. Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says this: Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, which, by the way, is a gift, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. If I could just put that in different words, what he's saying here is that when, in verse 4, that when people work, their wages aren't a gift. It's something that they have earned. But in verse 5, he says, but people that are counted righteous are not counted righteous because of their work, but because of their faith in God that saves sinners. Okay? So very clearly, saving faith is not a work. Let me illustrate it this way. If you needed life-saving surgery, just as you would choose then to rely on the surgeon to be enabled to perform the surgery necessary to save your life, so you have to rely on the Savior to be enabled to save you and to redeem you from death. You have to choose to transfer your dependence from anything else, and you have to depend upon Jesus alone to cure you of all your sinfulness. So your faith doesn't contribute to your salvation. It simply makes it possible for Christ to save you because God makes salvation a matter of personal choice. Anyone can choose to trust Christ for salvation. The Bible says, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The scripture says that he died not only for our sins who are saved, but for the sins of the whole world. So salvation is a choice that any human being can make, whoever they are. Saving faith is not a gift, it's not a work, and it's not believing about Jesus. What? Well, listen closely. Saving faith is not believing about Jesus, it's believing on Jesus. It's not believing about Jesus, it's believing on Jesus. Because think about it, the Bible says that those evil spirits that we call demons, they believe about Jesus. They believe about God. They know that Jesus died. They know that he was buried and he rose again. So people may acknowledge Jesus Christ. They may understand and even agree with the truth that they're sinners and that they need God's righteousness, or they will be judged. But if they never truly transfer their dependence from themselves or from other people to Christ alone, they're not saved. Salvation, saving faith, is not believing about Christ, but it's believing on Christ, where you make a personal choice to transfer your trust, your dependence from yourself or anyone or anything else to Christ alone. Okay? That's what saving faith is not. So now let's look at what saving faith is. Let's look at the positive side. Saving faith is, very simply, it is a response. It's a response on the part of a human being. God is always the initiator when it comes to salvation. Man or human beings are always the responders in this matter. And so saving faith is a response. Saving faith is a human response to the Holy Spirit's conviction that is based upon the Word of God. Turn over for a moment to John chapter 16. And I want to pick up in verse 7 of John 16 and go down to verse 11. This is Jesus's final meeting with his disciples in the upper room just prior to his crucifixion. And he's telling them a whole lot of important information, and a lot of it centers around the ministry of the one that is going to replace Jesus in this earthly ministry that he had. And that replacement, that substitute for Jesus in his earthly ministry will be none other than the Holy Spirit. And so he says in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient, it's advantageous for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the one that is called to stand beside you, your advocate, the Comforter, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin." Now, this Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And here's what he's going to do. When Jesus sent the Holy Spirit down in this present ministry that he has during this church age, here's what he's doing. He will reprove or convict the world of sin. He will reprove, he will convict the world of righteousness. That is, their lack of righteousness, the insufficiency of their self-righteousness. and he will reprove, or he will convict the world of judgment. That is, that because of their sin that he has convicted them of and their lack of his righteousness, they are condemned already. And they're facing his wrath and his judgment. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he explains that in the 9, 10, and 11, what I just explained to you. But I just a sidebar for this, and that is, how does the Holy Spirit convict through the Word of God people in the world that don't even know the Bible, don't have a Bible, or never read the Bible? Guess how? Through you. The Holy Spirit convicts through the Word of God, and that Word of God that is spoken by his people. That's the main way that he does it. Now, I understand and I agree that a person can never have a human witness and can be saved by reading the scripture. But I'll guarantee you, someone's prayers are behind that. God uses human beings. And so the point, I don't want to get sidetracked on that, but the point is that humans that respond to the gospel do so because of the conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit speaking through the Word of God that creates in the heart of an individual a complete conviction of that person's sinfulness, of their deserving God's judgment, and thus their need of Christ's righteousness. It's not just an intellectual or an emotional reception of the message of the gospel, but it is a volitional. That is, you're prepared to act upon it as truth and as something that you vitally need. So you ask and you believe that he hears you and he saves you based on the promise of his word. Saving faith is a response. And by the way, it's a response, again, that any human being on this planet, before, now, or future, can make. Because the Bible says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, none excluded. The theological term for that, just if you want to know it, is called prevenient grace. And that's what I believe in. And that's what Titus 2:11 is talking about. So, what is saving faith? It is a response. And if you have not had a wholehearted response to the gospel, that is, if you first understand it, and then you agree with it, and then you act upon what you understand and agree by depending upon Christ, that's saving faith. It's not one or the other, but it's all three parts. You understand, you're in agreement with it, and you act upon it. So saving faith is, first of all, a response on the part of human beings. But secondly, it is a reliance. It's a response, but it's a reliance. Essentially, faith, the word, means trust. It means reliance. It means dependence. First of all, it's a reliance that comes in your mind. And I'm not talking about your brain. It's a reliance in your mind. That is, you get a heart understanding of the truth. And then, by that next, it affects you. It affects you. It touches your affections. That understanding affects you. Your affections are touched. And that understanding affects you, and you come to a place where, yeah, that makes sense. I agree with that. But that's not salvation. Then by your own will, you choose to depend upon Christ alone. Nothing else. No one else. And then at that moment, saving faith taps the resources that God offers in his word and whole heart activated results in salvation. So what is faith? It is a response on our part, and it is a reliance on our part. The object of faith is none other than Jesus. And it's based upon what the Bible tells us about him. And what the Holy Spirit then uses to convince us that this is true. And that's then relied upon, and that's salvation. Let me just say that if you're saved tonight, genuinely saved, that's your experience. And if you're not, that's what you need to experience. You need to come to that place where you rely upon what the Bible says, that Jesus died for your sins. And if he didn't, you're heading for hell. You deserve that. And that Jesus, if you receive him, will forgive all of your sin, past, present, and even future, and will make you in his sight blameless. And he will count the righteousness that Jesus, the perfect Son of God, has on your account. You depend upon him for that, you become a child of God. It's a response in which you rely totally on him. Now, I don't want to embarrass Derek, but it was a blessing to see him baptized and hear his testimony this past Sunday afternoon. But it wasn't too long ago, a couple months ago. I remember in August, he was invited to the church picnic by Dina. He came to the church picnic and people spoke with him and were friendly towards him. And as a result of that, just that feeling of warmth, that drew Derek to say, you know what? I want to come to church with you, Dina. I want to see, you know, what goes on. And so he came to church. And he came for a month or more, maybe a little more. And I remember one Sunday when I preached a message and I gave an invitation, he raised his hand. And I closed the service and I had an intention of going over there and speaking with him myself. And I noticed that he was visibly moved. His emotions were stirred. And so I went over and sat with him and I said, how can I help you? What's going on? What are you thinking? What's happening? You raised your hand. And as a result of that conversation, he wanted to trust Christ as his Savior. He understood. It became apparent he understood. He had been here for several weeks and had heard the gospel. And I think probably it heard it other places before here, but he settled it there. Okay. He understood, he agreed, and he then relied upon the Lord as his Savior. And so that's why he followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Not to get saved, but because he already was saved and he wanted to publicly testify of that faith in Jesus. So faith is not a gift. Faith is not a work. And faith is not believing about Jesus, but it's believing on Jesus. It's a response and a reliance on Christ alone.